Ave Maria in the Afternoon is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Welcome to Ave Maria in the Afternoon, examining the world through the lens of faith from the heart of the Church to help us navigate the culture. Here's Dr. Marcus Peter.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us on this hour of Ave Maria in the Afternoon. I'm Marcus Peter. In Studio Spotlight, we're taking your calls. Tomorrow is Lent, and we want to hear how you and your family are going to be celebrating Lent. Any thoughts, ideas? What are some of the experiences that you have? In fact, we want to hear some of the happy experiences of things you do as a family to bond in terms of celebrating the season of Lent. It's a wondrous season, but it's also a season that ought to be sobering. Every Catholic I've ever spoken to, especially those who are cradle Catholics, they have a sense of immersion in the season that's so unique and so profound that it is at once a bitter and sweet, truly a bittersweet experience. There's a pain involved in the season. It tinges the soul. The fiery love of God truly purifies the soul during the season of Lent, if we allow it to. And if I may quote St. Alphonsus Liguori, that this is a time where, paraphrasing here, grace is in the air. And God our Father grants us this great season, this time of retreat, through the wisdom of Holy Mother Church for that purpose, so that we can enter deeper into an encounter of the mystery of His love for us through the life, passion, death, and resurrection of His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we want to hear from you. I'm going to give out the number now, but we'll take your calls after speaking with my friend Dr. Greg Popchick. So the number is 877-573-7825. What are you and your family doing for Lent? What have you done in the past? 877-573-7825. We are talking with Dr. Greg Popchick. Now, you know well that he and his bride Lisa have formulated a system called the Liturgy of Domestic Church Life. It's an appeal to, well, first of all, theology of the body, but also John Bosco's great wisdom in forming families. And as they developed it, one of the things that comes to fruition is the living out of the liturgical calendar in the Liturgy of Domestic Church Life. And that's what we'll be talking about, how Lenten disciplines don't have to be this semi-monastic, elevated notion, but really it can be eminently practical. This is something that families can enter into together. And in fact, dare I say, enjoy together, doing it together for the sake of growing in sainthood as a family, as one true domestic church. And we talk about all of this after the headlines.
Thank you, Marcus, and good afternoon, everyone. This is your Ave Maria Radio News for Tuesday, March 4th. It's the Feast of St. Casimir of Poland. And today's news is brought to you by the Ave Maria Family of Funds at AveMariaFunds.com. Pope Francis no longer needs the non-invasive breathing machine that he was put on after having respiratory problems yesterday. NBC's Ann Thompson reports the pontiff suffered two attacks of acute respiratory failure, which is caused by a buildup of mucus in the lungs.
Doctors perform bronchoscopies after each incident. That is where they take a tube that has a camera on it, put it in the airways to clean out the mucus. A Vatican source says the Pope has no new infection, nor does he have a fever.
The Pope is said to have remained alert and conscious during the procedures and slept well overnight, but his prognosis remains guarded. He will not participate in Ash Wednesday services tomorrow. President Trump is halting all military aid to Ukraine. In a statement, a White House official said that Trump has been clear that he is focused on peace and that our partners need to be as well. It went on to say that the U.S. is pausing and reviewing our aid to ensure that it's contributing to a solution. The deadly measles outbreak in Texas is affecting many children, with nearly 1 in 3 patients being under the age of 4. Doctors say those who survive may be facing a lifetime of health problems. Dr. Sapna Singh, who is the chief medical officer at Texas Children's Hospital, says her worst fear is a rare brain disorder that develops years after a measles infection. She agrees with President Trump's health secretary, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who writes that vaccines can protect kids and contribute to herd immunity. From the Ave Maria Radio.net news desk, I'm Dan McGraw.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. Lenten disciplines aren't about giving up random things for the sake of giving something up, even though giving up desserts tends to be a staple for many of us. They're actually about surrendering the things that prevent us from loving God and each other the way He wants us to. So we discuss living this out in the liturgy of domestic church life this Lent with our friend Dr. Greg Popchick. Dr. Greg and Lisa are the hosts of More to Life, a call-in program produced by Ave Maria Radio and EWTN and that airs on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. They're also the developers of the Catholic HOM app that helps Catholic families thrive and enjoy their lives as a Catholic family. Greg, so great to speak with you. How are you?
Awesome to be here, Marcus. Thank you so much.
I love speaking with you, Greg, largely because I learn...
I like speaking with me too, Marcus. Thank you for that. I'm just picking on you.
Yeah. I know. But you know, that cracks me up. I'm going to use that line, by the way. But... So, Lent, right? I think if we talk to the average Catholic, when we think about Lent, we think about morose, somber attitudes. And yet, whenever I hear you and Lisa speak about Lent in the family, there's almost a sense of enjoyable hope. And that's not the common sentiment, I think.
No, but that's really what it's meant to be. I mean, mm-hmm. Yes, we do penance during Lent, but let's remember why we're doing penance, right? We're reflecting on the times that we've failed to receive God's love the way He wants to give it to us, or you know, participated in that love the way He wants us to, or shared that love the way He wants us to with others. And so we do penance for that, but we also make little sacrifices with the intention of opening up our hearts more to receive that love and then share it with the people that God has placed in our lives. And so, you know, we want to encourage parents, especially on the Home app. We've created this incredible, comprehensive family Lenten activity pack. Right. That gives families a great way to really just connect with the season, encounter Christ more meaningfully at home, and experience the faith as a source of the warmth in their home, so that by Easter, all of our families can experience a more joyful, peaceful, faith-filled family. And that's, you know, we want to rise up with Christ and experience that resurrection in our homes as well. But even if you're not a member of the Catholic Home app, I just want to encourage everybody as they're going into this season of Lent, to as a family, mm-hmm. look at the little things that they might be able to do to make a stronger connection, to give up those things, for instance, you know, maybe being quite so busy that they don't have time to work together or play together or talk together or pray together, to look for little ways that they can build deeper connections with each other by being a little bit more affectionate with each other, or looking for little ways to make each other's day a little easier or more pleasant. You know, all of those things, you know, are framed in sort of a positive way, but what we're really doing is giving up our selfishness, giving up our busyness, giving up our distractedness, mm-hmm. so that we can open up our hearts to the people that God has placed in our homes to love and be loved by Him.
Right, and that's really what that does, right? Suffering, we don't like admitting it, but that's the entire basis of the church's teaching of redemptive suffering. This is what the scriptures have always taught us, and Christianity has always held, that suffering expands our internal capacity for receiving the love of God and therefore living out the love of God. But in order to do that, we need to willingly embrace that which is open to us, in this case, in the season of Lent.
Well, that's right. And so we have to keep our focus, because I think, you know, as kids, and the intention behind this is very, you know, well-meaning and you know, very good in its heart. But I think, you know, we learn that we should give up something for Lent. But we don't make the connection to why are we giving these things up for Lent, and what is the goal that God is asking us to pursue over these 40 days by giving that thing up? And the goal is ultimately opening up our hearts to receive more of His love, and finding ways to share that love then more completely with others. You know, and if giving up chocolate enables you to do that, more mm-hmm. power to you. But I think for most people, what we really need to be doing is looking at how are we closing off the people that God has placed in our life. So, you right. know, if Lisa has been asking me to do something and I've just sort of not done it because I just don't feel like doing it, well, maybe Lent is the time for me to just say yes to that and get over my big bad self and love her the way that God wants me to. You know, if as a family we've been so busy that we don't know which end is up, maybe Lent is a time where we step back and say, what is God calling us to do? Right. To maybe make a little bit more of a connection and make a little more room for him and loving each other in this time. And that's a sacrifice that I think is going to bear real fruit, not just in those 40 days, but for months and years to come.
Right. And okay, so we know these things, and you, like we've been told these things, and living them out practically, like you mentioned, it's so much easier for us to continue in the humdrum, ordinary cycles of the day that we had before Lent began. And yet, what you're challenging us to is to really think about being intentional about Lent. So, just tell us more about that, Greg.
Well, yeah, and I think, too, sometimes we, you know, when I phrase it this way, people will give me the reaction where they say, I didn't think I was supposed to get anything from doing this. I thought I was just supposed to do the sacrifice, right? Mm. And so whenever I suggest that, you know, by doing these kinds of activities, this is our Lenten discipline that's going to allow us to experience more love and more joy and more peace in our homes, sometimes people feel a little guilty about that. Because well, wait a minute. If I'm getting something out of it, should I even do it in the first place?
Mm.
But you know, we can't add anything to God's mercy. We can't add anything to His love. Everything we do, we cooperate with that love. We cooperate with that mercy, and He always gives back a hundredfold for every little effort that we make because He's just that generous. And so the whole point of these Lenten disciplines, whatever it is that we do, is to open up our hearts to receive His love more and share that love more. And so this framework that we have through this Liturgy of Domestic Church Life, which identifies 12 habits that families who successfully raised all their kids to a faithful adulthood, by looking at those and saying, well, where can we grow a little bit more? What that's enabling us to do as a family is cooperate with the grace of the season, the superabundant grace that you were talking about in the introduction, that allows us to really experience God's love more meaningfully in our homes, share that love more meaningfully with each other and the world through this season of Lent, and then build even stronger domestic churches that allow us to continue being outposts of grace in a hurting world for months and years to come.
Right. And so even as we think about that and we can learn to appreciate that more, because that really is what Lent is supposed to do. We are actually supposed to get something out of it. And as grateful as all of us are for that reality, the fact is that's going to take effort on our part. And that's the part I think that we don't want to think about.
Well, right. But if we're going to make that effort, then at least we could keep our eyes on, you know, God, the blessing that God wants to give us for that effort, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I give up, you know, like as a chocolate for the next 40 days, that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a noble intention. It's a beautiful idea. But at the end of that 40 days, I'm going to go back to eating chocolate, right? But if I give up those things that stop me from loving my wife and my kids, over the next 40 days, that's going to take my relationship to a whole new level.
Yeah.
That's going to take my family to a whole new level. That's going to enable my kids to experience the faith making the source of the warmth in my home on a whole new level. And that's something that's worthwhile. And that's why we created this Catholic Home Lenten mm-hmm. Family Pack in the downloadable section of the app. And I hope that people will check it out, because we're going to journey together 40 days for families on the Catholic Home app to really help each other have a more joyful, peaceful, faithful family by Easter.
So do you think you could share at least one thing that's in that pack that's an eminently practical thing that someone can begin with?
Sure. So we have an actual, like, a little diary activity where the families mm-hmm. can kind of get together and talk about what's one small thing that we did to try to make each other's day a little easier and more pleasant, so that, you know, there's that idea of making little sacrifices for the good of each other, for the good of the family. We have an activity that takes families through confession and how to do a proper examine, but in a way that you know, younger children can really appreciate and understand. We have an activity sheet called Lent is for Love, where we talk about how we can really take advantage of the grace of the season to go deeper and really experience that love. So, you know, we really walk families through all the different parts and practices of the season of Lent and help make it simple and practical and meaningful for people of all ages.
Right. Well, thank you very much, Greg, for joining us and having this conversation. I'm listening to all of this and realizing there's a lot that I can adapt into, and I only have a day to do it. So thank you for all of this, Greg.
It's my pleasure, Marcus. Thank you so much for having me.
My guest, Dr. Greg and Lisa, Dr. Greg Popchak, he and his bride Lisa are the co-hosts of More to Life, a call-in program that engages the family with the theology of the body and the teachings of the church. Stay tuned. We're taking your calls. I'm Marcus Peter.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
We just did our parish mission a couple weeks ago now. And I suggested that in the course of the mission that we do something like a little mini spiritual assessment of our lives. I don't have to show this to anybody, but a great chance for us just to, with real honesty, just between us and Jesus, ask ourselves some questions. First question, given the fact that half of Catholics don't think God is even personal, would be to ask ourselves that. Do I think God is personal? And then to ask myself, do I think a relationship with Jesus is possible? Do I have a relationship with Jesus? And if so, what's it look like? And then perhaps a little bit more awkwardly or painfully to ask Jesus from his perspective, what's the friendship that we have with him look like? How would he describe our friendship with him? That might be a hard conversation to have.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
I've seen the difference in my son since he's been at Ave Maria. He's happy, he's excited about what he's going to do with his degree, and he's living his faith.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
Good afternoon, welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. 877-573-7825. We would love to hear from you. 877-573-7825. We want to hear from you as to how you and your family are celebrating Lent. What have you done in the past that worked? What are some of the things you're planning to do this year? 877-573-7825. Now, I'm going to talk about the season of Lent. I'm going to invite any of you to call in at any point. Share your thoughts, share your desires, share what Lent does for you and your family. 877-573-7825. The question that we want to ask here is, Lent presents us an opportunity to think about what our priorities in life are. What are our priorities in life? Lent is an invitation to think about those priorities. It's so easy to get trapped in the plodding, the everyday, mundane, transient realities of life, these ebbs and flows, the daily steps and the grind that we have to go through. And in the process, the living out of the Christian faith seems like it needs refreshing. Now, many of us undergo different ways of refreshing. We go to days of recollection, we seek out retreats, we go to prayer meetings. And now Mass is to be sure, weekly Mass is to be sure. For a lot of us, daily Mass is the discipline that we embrace. We definitely keep up a daily prayer life. And so we do all these things to keep revitalizing ourselves in the life of God. And the church, because she is a good mother, realizes that plowing through the day in, day out experience of Christian life is crucial. But the ebbs and flows of the seasons are the ways in which God tells us time is moving. And because time doesn't stand still, the seasons change, and therefore our lives are moving forward. And the question is, are we moving forward in virtue and sainthood or not? And that's what Lent is for. Lent is the great call of the church, the exhortation of God our Father through our life in the sacraments and liturgy to be saints. He wants us to be saints. And if we lose sight of that core reality, then we've been doing Lent wrong all this time. Now, I doubt any of you fall into that category. You understand that there's a certain sense in which Lent is calling you to be to come out of yourself, to be greater than you are. And so the sacrifices we undertake are to that end. We want to be holier. We want to be more virtuous. Prayer, fasting, almsgiving, and penance are ordered to the end of becoming holier. Again, 877-573-7825. What are you and your family doing for Lent? I want to quote 877-573-7825. If you call now, we have people ready to take your calls. I want to quote from T.S. Eliot. This is from T.S. Eliot's Ash Wednesday 1. This is a poem. "And pray to God to have mercy upon us. Pray that I may forget these matters that with myself I too much discuss, too much explain, because I do not hope to turn again. Let these words answer for what is done, not to be done again. May the judgment not be too heavy upon us, because these wings are no longer wings to fly, but merely vans to beat the air which is now thoroughly small and dry, smaller and drier than the will. Teach us to care and not to care. Teach us to sit still. Pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Pray for us now and at the hour of our death." So yes, this is that great season where we can appeal to heaven for mercy. Remember, the saints and angels, as the letter to the Hebrews tells us, surround us as so great a cloud of the Hebrew, the Greek word here is marturia, so great a cloud of marturia. Don't think that they're just standing there as bystanders who don't care and who are not invested in our journey, in our running the race. Rather, because we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, they are invested in our running the race to sainthood. They are intimately involved in every stage of this marathon that we call earthly life, as we run the race, that we may fight the good fight, finish the race, and keep the faith. So Paul exhorts us to this in his letter to the Corinthians and in his letter to Timothy, and he exhorts us to this as well as the author of the letter to the Hebrews, that the saints who surround us in great spiritual joy are also doing so in great divine hope. They are, in that sense, instrumental channels of the grace of God, calling us to the sainthood that they already participate in and share in divine life. And that's what Lent is all about. Yes, it is this great season of mercy because it is this great season of sainthood. Lent is a retreat during which you and I can be completely transformed into the transfigured image and likeness of God, interiorly at least, that we may journey unto the eventual glory that we will enjoy in the beatific vision. In other words, during Lent, the Father looks at us and says, "My children, be the saints that you were made to be." 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. I want to go to Stan, listening in Georgia on St. Paul Radio 91.1. Stan, how do you and your family celebrate Lent? Stan, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I hear you right now. How are you?
Oh, fine. Thank you. Thanks for your program. I really enjoy it.
Well, thank
you. I'm a catechist. All these programs really help me as they teach, go through this two-year segment with kids preparing for confirmation in the country. Anyway, because I used to look at Lent, you know, time we went from joy to the world to ashes, and you know, as I've gotten older, it just Lent becomes more important and more of a time almost of Thanksgiving. Like, you know, I always had a hard time understanding, why did God have to die for us? What did I do to make him do that? And, you know, in 70 some years, I've kind of found out. And, this Lent, I just wanted to try to work more with my wife. We've been married almost 40 years and we raise our children. We're both professionals, been very busy. We're still very involved. We still work part-time, and we're involved in bunches of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now we all farm, and but you know, it becomes so task oriented, and your marriage kind of takes almost second place sometimes.
Right.
Not you know what I'm talking about.
Yes,
not in
yes.
the sense of you forget each other, but you know, you kind of you're kind of passing ships almost. Almost, you know, it's like we joke like we have to make an appointment to see each other. So I had this old book of Bishop Sheen's, and it's called Three to Get Married.
Yep, one of my favorite books.
Yeah, well, good. Yeah, so we're kind of going to go through that during Lent to kind of do like a marriage inventory.
Yeah.
You know, where do we start from? Where are we now? I mean, we're definitely more in love with each other. But, you know, when you're married, I think your relationship with your spouse is the most important part of your relationship with God.
Yep. You're completely right.
Somebody asked me the other day, they said, well, what's it like being an empty nester? I said, empty nester? It's me and my wife, the Holy Trinity, and we each got a guardian angel. That's seven people. So.
Well, that's a beautiful way of describing it.
So we kind of want to concentrate on how can we get closer to God by getting, you know, closer to each other, discover ways that we sort of maybe drifted apart a little bit emotionally or whatever, and how can we make that more fulfilling? And so that's sort of what I'm looking at for Lent.
Thank you so much for calling that in, Stan. I greatly appreciate that sentiment. I want to affirm the fact that it's all too easy to lose sight of the fact that we have to work on our marriage. We have to, in fact, proverbially fight for our marriage. And Lent is a wondrous time for us to renew that. So, yes, I would actually recommend for many of us to take Stan's counsel and to learn from them. Going through a book, Three to Get Married, would be a wondrous way to do that. There are numerous other resources for that. 877-573-7825. What are you doing this Lent? 877-573-7825. Call now. I'm Marcus Peter.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
This program brought to you in part by Ave Maria Florida, a big kind of small town where golf carts take you everywhere and there's always something fun around the corner. Discover championship golf, resort-style amenities, and a town center full of shopping and dining. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at its heart, it's a community full of connection and charm. More than 25 model homes are available for viewing. More information can be found at AveMaria.com. That's AveMaria.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I come from the other side of the tracks, see? My uncle used to have slot machines. Put one nickel in and it's emptied. Boom. And I brought him home in a bag, and my mother looked at me. Where did you get all that money? I said, I won them. You didn't win them. He fixed the machine. I didn't care if he fixed the machine or not, you know?
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Support for this Ave Maria radio program comes in part by the non-for-profit St. Anthony Services. Are you shopping for mortgage products, Catholic investing, Catholic health, real estate, or estate planning? StAnthonyServices.org can help you find a Catholic professional for these needs. They regularly connect faithful citizens with faith-based professionals that share our Christian values. More information at StAnthonyServices.org or 877-LIFE-US1.
And now, the EWTN Family Prayer with Father Joseph.
Family, a prayer that we pray together is a powerful prayer. So please pray together with me, our EWTN Family Prayer. Today we pray for those who have diabetes. Almighty God, we worship you, our Father, And we pray this day for those who suffer with diabetes. Look upon your children with this illness and grant them relief. Give them patience and the grace of perseverance in taking care of their health. Show them the way to physical and spiritual well-being. Let their cry come to your ears and bring them healing in mind and body and soul. We ask this in the holy name of Jesus, your Son. Amen.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchak.
God isn't content to love us from a distance. That's why he emptied himself, was born a man, walked among us, suffered, died, and rose again. That's why, having ascended to the Father, he gives us the sacraments, all so that we can experience his extravagant love through our senses. Being generously and appropriately affectionate with our kids is an important way to teach them about Christ's own embodied, extravagant love. There's nothing stingy or reserved about the way God loves his children, you and me, and we're called to love our children as demonstratively as he loves us. To discover more ways your family can celebrate the liturgy of domestic church life, check out the newest editions of Parenting with Grace and visit CatholicCounselors.com. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Good afternoon, welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. We are taking your calls. If you'd like to call in, 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. We are talking about Lent, in search of God. What is Lent all about? And frankly, I want to hear from you too about what you and your family are doing for Lent. You know, what are some of the special things you do? And even if it's something as simple as we stay away from desserts and how you do that, if there's anything fun or funny that you do about that, well frankly, I want to hear from you. I'm going to share a bit of a humorous anecdote. I'm not much for sweets. My darling bride, on the other hand, she is quite a bit for sweets. But to be very fair to her, I think it's the common reality that a lot of people have a problem with sugar. And so Lent becomes that time when she's actually very diligent. She purges the house of all sugar. And so on Fat Tuesday or Shirov Tuesday, that's the last day we have anything remotely sweet in the house. And then that's it. Our house becomes sugar-free for all of Lent. And she undertakes this as a sacrifice. The other thing she does, too, is she stays away from social media. Now, given the nature of my work, I can curtail my use of social media, but I can't completely stay away from it. So I undertake different disciplines on a personal level as a result. But these things that she does over and above her ramping up of her prayer life are ways in which we as a couple participate in this great season. Because the realization is that the church calls us to sainthood during the season of Lent. And so the challenge is that even for those of us who are married or single, especially those of us living secular lives, we're not religious, we're not priests, we're not consecrated religious. The call here is, how can we live out that sainthood in a very particular expressed way? And so this season of mercy is that time during which we get to tap into the ocean of God's love. Lent, Holy Lent, this holy season, is an avenue where we get to touch upon the heart of the Father and let him do work within our souls that is painful and yet necessary. Consider it spiritual surgery. I just finished another segment of Unveiling the Covenants, and we're preaching a Lenten retreat that will air every Sunday. The episode's on YouTube. And in one of the weeks, I talk about repentance. The reason why repentance is so crucial is it has to follow, or at least be alongside, the work of forgiveness. One of the great blockages we can have to the work of God in our life is unforgiveness. And it's a problem that plagues our modern culture because we've lost the meaning and definition of what love is and therefore what forgiveness actually is. Love, for it to be real love, is not sentiment. It is not affection. It's not even physical intimacy. Love is, by definition, willing the good of the other. And so Christian love, agape love, caritas, is manifested as willing the good of the other over the self. And Lent becomes that wondrous opportunity where we get to step beyond our heart's capacity for charity. Now, when I say heart, I don't mean the seat of our emotions. We don't feel like loving half the time, and that is fine. When I say heart, I mean the proper theological understanding, the proper biblical understanding of the deepest seat of the person, wherein we can come in communion with God. And so our will gets to choose to love even when, and I argue when, especially when we don't feel like it. And so Lent becomes that opportunity to love. And therefore, what is forgiveness then? When one has wronged us, forgiveness by definition is, I relinquish the right to hurt you as you have hurt me. I relinquish my claim on you for the wrong that has been done to me. It really is that. Forgiveness means letting go of my right to inflict upon you the hurt that has been inflicted upon me. And we can actually pray for that grace to do so. Again, 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. My exhortation to many of you listening right now is, if unforgiveness is something that you struggle with, whether it's for particular people or if you have a list of people who've hurt you, this Lent might be that time to allow the Lord to do that painful work within your soul so that He can set you free and let you in on a greater ocean of His grace and love. We're going to Isaac, listening in Des Moines, Iowa, listening on Iowa Catholic Radio, our friends at Iowa Catholic Radio. We love hearing from you guys in Iowa. Isaac, please share about what you and your family are doing for Lent.
Hi, Marcus. This season, I related to your point about Caritas and Christian charity. I'm 27, I have a son who will be 2 pretty soon, and I found that when I get home, one of the ways that I disconnect kind of from work is I realize I'll just go on my phone and kind of scroll, or even if I don't have anything that entertaining on my phone, I'll just kind of get absorbed into my phone and into digital life.
Right.
And so I've tried to make a point of going analog, if you will, this season, and so it's not possible, like you said, for your job to disconnect from social media. For me, I don't need social media, but I need my multi-factor authentication for my email and for work things. So I've attempted to remove anything I possibly can from my phone. So I'm trying to lean into single-purpose tasks. And so my phone is used for communication and, of course, authentication. And so I've actually disabled my camera as well. Didn't realize I could do that, but I deleted everything I could from my phone. And so I'm trying to lean into ways and opportunities to form the pattern of my will into virtue, so I can love my son. I give my son the opportunity to have more of my time, more of my attention, and then also form my own will and virtue to like you said, to Caritas. And I actually have a question for you.
Yeah,
that's kind of the way that I'm trying to practice. But I don't have a lot of experience with almsgiving. So what does it look like to practice almsgiving during the season of Lent?
So
how can I help my young family in that pursuit?
Right. You and I are in similar stages of life, so I believe I'm hearing the intent right in terms of discernment here. Particularly, it has to do with not neglecting the needs of our family while still meeting the divine call here for almsgiving. Am I right in saying that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so where I'd start, honestly, is the discernment of what is within our capacity to give. So my bride and I have a fixed series of apostolates and our parish that we give to, and we delineate how what that looks like. And during the season of Lent, if financial giving is hard, even though that tends to be the closest thing we can go to, remember, we can also give of our time, our talent, if not our treasure. And so almsgiving can become a family experience, at least we've come to experience it, by making an act of service, especially at the level of the parish, during the season of Lent. Now, we do this in different ways. My bride and I give of our time in service of ministry to the building up of our parish. It's a work of love that we enjoy to do. And, you know, I'm preaching at a Lenten retreat this coming week. And so those are some of the ways in which we believe that we're giving back in almsgiving, because it really is a discernment of the state of life that we're in. And I really appreciate that question, Isaac, because it opens the grander question as to what almsgiving can look like depending on our secular and specific states of life. I hope that was helpful.
That is helpful. Yes, thank you, Marcus. I appreciate it. I hope that your sermon preparation and delivery is blessed by the Lord.
Thank you. That was Isaac calling from Des Moines, Iowa. Like I mentioned, we love our friends in Iowa Catholic Radio, and we love hearing from you. So again, 877-573-7825. We're taking your calls about what you're doing in Lent. I greatly appreciated Isaac's call, because detaching from the digital sphere is actually one of those things that I constantly talk about on this program. And Lent becomes an opportunity for many of us to do that. Now, given the nature of my work, it's impossible to completely detach. And so it's completely understandable for many of us that might be the case. But what can we do to curtail our consumption of digital media such that we can live more, quote unquote, not quote unquote, but actually really human lives? And human lives mean lives in connection with God, in intimate, deep, personal connection with God, and by virtue of that, intimate, deep, personal connection with people. Because the artificial sphere is designed to draw us away from having human connectivity, and yet it is precisely those painful, frictional, difficult human connections in society that shape us into more virtuous human beings. 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. We want to hear from you. What are you and your family doing for Lent? What are you personally doing for Lent? Share with us. 877-573-7825. We'll take your calls on the other side of the break. Stay tuned. I'm Marcus Vita.
Ave Maria School of Law is the Roman Catholic law school in the United States. Consistently ranked in the Princeton Review as one of the best and most conservative law schools, as well as pre-law's most devout law school. Ave Maria School of Law provides a traditional legal education while emphasizing how the law intersects with the Catholic intellectual tradition and natural law philosophy. Ave Maria School of Law, unabashedly Catholic, consistently excellent. For more information, visit avemarialaw.edu.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
On this show and on this network and in many of our other outlets that we have through Ave Maria Radio and EWTN, we're always going to keep you up to date on what's happening in terms of the culture and how toxic the culture is. Certainly, we talk about that every week, so you can navigate the media landscape, so you can learn about the challenges and be well aware of them. That's one thing. We talk about religious liberty issues. We talk about the attacks, of course, on the pro-life causes. We need to be aware of all that, which is why we talk about it. So we give you the tools, we give you the information, the research that we come up with as writers, as producers, as presenters, as talk show hosts, on and on and on. But at the end of the day, what do we need to do when we know this? We should be speaking out even more loudly and on a regular basis.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
My daughter told me she was published in a scientific journal as an undergrad. I'm so proud of her. The world needs Catholic physicists, and my daughter's going to be one of them.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
To vent or not? If I get it off my chest, then I feel better. I've got to vent. Is this so? It's old theory. Somewhat like a catharsis. You've got to purge yourself of these emotions, and Lord help anyone who's standing in the way. It's old theory. It's inaccurate. Venting is generally not good for the hearers, and it's not good for the venter. Venting may be good for dryers. It's not good for people. When we vent, we become more likely to vent. And when we are more likely to vent, we are more likely to hurt and say things we shouldn't say. Careful on the venting. Better to think about what you have to say before you vent.
When we ask our Father to give us this day our daily bread, are we merely asking for daily nourishment? We are, says the Catholic Catechism, indeed asking the Father who gives us life for the material and spiritual nourishment which life requires. But we are asking for much more. Those who seek the kingdom of God and its righteousness, God has promised to give all else besides. Since everything belongs to God, he who possesses God possesses everything, if he himself is not found wanting before God. The drama of hunger in the world, therefore, calls upon all Christians to exercise responsibility toward their needy brethren, both in their behavior and in their solidarity with the human family. This petition also applies to another hunger from which people are perishing, thirst for the word of the Lord and for Catholics receiving his body in the Eucharist, which is our daily bread. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. We're thinking about Lent, Lenten penances, penance, fasting, almsgiving, and prayer. Something that a caller earlier brought up is the discernment of what almsgiving can look like. And look, I'm going to be the first to acknowledge here. We are, right now at least, we're seeing a small economic upswing, but we are in a time where things are difficult. And if I may be so bold as to say so, eggs are expensive and a lot of things are expensive. And so families are stretched, budgets are stretched. And because of that, we can properly discern what giving can look like. Here's my challenge to all of us. And by the way, this challenge that I issue to you is the challenge my bride and I issue to ourselves. We realize that tithing and almsgiving are necessary parts of the Christian experience. And so we have worked to never cut it out of our lives, especially ever since we got married. We've been very systematic about it. And the reason why is because we act in such a manner that this is always going to go to that, and therefore this is a non-negotiable part of how we manage our finances. And so I'll be very honest, we support our local Catholic radio stations, and so that's a way in which you can expand the work of the gospel in almsgiving. Discern carefully what the family can handle, because it's not just about finances too. Remember, it's about giving of your treasure, to be sure, but also your time and your talent, and what the family can do together in terms of service to the parish or in terms of service to apostolates or local Christian communities might well benefit your growth in sainthood. Because going back to what Dr. Greg Popchak said earlier, remember, this is about you encountering Christ with your family. If you and I are in a domestic church together, in a family together, then Christ wants us to encounter him as a family. And so daddy engaging in work that is completely devoid of what the family is engaging in might not be the best, most upbuilding thing for the sake of the family encountering Christ. And so there are ways in which we can do this together. Again, we want to hear from you. What are some Lenten experiences that you and your family have? What are you doing for Lent? And what are some of the things that you think will be beneficial for you and your family to do for Lent? 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. It was also brought to my attention by my friend Brian Shanley, who is the executive producer of this program. I consider him the unseen pillar of this program. He was there for Al, and he's been there working with me through this program as well. And so something that he brought up is, if your Lenten penance is to not be around people because other people can't stand you, then, well, that's not much of a Lenten penance. And really, as I mentioned earlier, Lent is about connecting with God that we may connect with others. Lent is about connecting with God that we may connect with others. So repentance, forgiveness, and building of community. These were things that were very unique to the Judeo-Christian revelation, especially the biblical revelation. Throughout scripture, especially historically, by the time especially the Mosaic law comes about with the Ten Commandments and eventually the Levitical law and the Deuteronomic stipulations, what had happened in Near Eastern history and most of global history was that justice was seen as some kind of an accepted proportionality. Now, what do I mean by that? If someone has poked out your eye, well, you have a right to strike them back. And sometimes that striking means killing. Unfortunately, now that you've killed your aggressor, the person who struck you, now their family has a right to kill you. And then the continuation of that spiral of violence would continue on. And they eventually came this Babylonian code called the Code of Hammurabi, and that brought about a cessation to the violence. The law of Hammurabi is essentially an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You see this echoed in Near Eastern society, and therefore even within the Levitical premise. When Jesus comes about, And by the way, that ceases the violence. It makes it so that the violence doesn't continue. An eye is taken for an eye. A tooth is taken for a tooth. But even within the Judaic revelation, the Jewish revelation, the revelation to the people of Israel, the Levitical law, allowances were made for accidental murderers, that they may, accidental killers, that they may go to a city that is outside of the bounds of the general populace, and there they may be kept safe. They're outcasts, but they're not dead. And so the Levitical law, the Jewish experience, the Israelite experience, started introducing the law of love into man's practice of justice. And the law of love culminated in the Jewish experience, in the Israelite experience, with the sacrifice of animals. The blood shed of innocent animals was essentially communicating that that animal died in my place. This is the debt that my sin owes. And so the death of that animal is the death that I ought to die. We call this the substitution of penalty, penal substitution, that what has happened to that animal should have happened to me. And God, in his benevolence, allows that to happen. He allows this cult of animal sacrifice, this practice of animal sacrifice and worship, for the sake of atonement of sins to happen as a preparation for when he would finally atone for the sins of man and bridge that gap between man and him in the presence of Christ, in the person of Christ, and in the sacrifice of Christ. Now, fast forward to Jesus and the season of Lent, his 40 days, and eventually his Paschal mysteries, which you and I are coming to celebrate in this season of Lent. What we see is the law of charity is expanded. Again, 877-573-7825. How are you and your family thinking of celebrating Lent? How are you and your family? What are you and your family going to do for Lent? We want to hear from you. We want to hear, even if it's something as simple as we're giving up sweets together and we're collecting all the sweets that we might have and we're going to give it as a donation to, I don't know, a charity or those who are needy, or do an act of charity in some way. Again, 877-573-7825. Now, as I mentioned, Jesus expands the law of charity. Now, how does he do this? He does this by saying the cessation of violence is not enough. We have to go above and beyond to make up for that which was lacking in justice before. So, if someone slaps you on your left cheek, give your right. If someone takes your shirt, give them your cloak as well. If someone takes your cloak, give them your shirt as well. If someone asks you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles. Now, there was a law at that point, it's called the Roman mile. Roman soldiers were allowed within the confines of the empire to conscript subjects, not citizens, of the empire who were conquered by the Roman Empire to walk, to carry their stuff for 1 mile, because soldiers were often overworked at that time. And so these subjects would have to carry that for exactly a mile, the Roman mile. And immediately at the end of the mile, then the objects would have to be given back to the soldiers, and the soldiers could continue on, or they could ask other people to help them for another mile. The purpose of this was meant to, you know, cease abuse. You can ask for help, but only up to a certain degree. Jesus says, if someone asks you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles. There's a metaphorical reality, but also a physical reality. Go above and beyond for the sake of charity, for the sake of willing the good of the other. And that's how Christianity spread. The Christians, especially in the early Roman Empire, and as they expanded across the Near East into the Far East, what people saw was that the Christians loved like no other. The law of love, I came to understand in my own study of Christianity as I had my conversion experience and studied in, was so unique to the Christian revelation that it was absurd when it first began. And so today, when we take a look at the public sphere where people say things like, well, you know, that's not kind, that's not loving, even if the person doesn't believe in Christ, they don't understand. They're appealing to a Christian premise. They are appealing to a law of love that originates from the Christian gospel. No one owes you kindness outside of the gospel message. But within the gospel message, gosh, not only are you owed kindness, you owe kindness to the body of Christ and to the community and to society. And Lent becomes that season where you and I are compelled to greatly expand our interior capacity for charity, for kindness, for mercy. And so kindness is alleviating the suffering of another. Mercy, by definition, is to make up for that which was damaged in an act of sin, in an act of injustice. We owe someone mercy not because that person has done something to merit it, but because God has shown us an infinitely greater mercy. We can't withhold forgiveness and mercy from other people because God doesn't. He gives it to us as soon as we ask. And is it difficult? To be sure, yes. More than anything, human relationships make it so that the Christian life is difficult. But if I may quote G.K. Chesterton from Orthodoxy here, Christianity has not been tried and found wanting, it's been found difficult and not tried. And so when you think about, for example, anti-Christian but leftist, liberalist, secular, Marxist narratives, they appeal to those very things that are found in the Christian revelation, but they want that without the God of Christianity and without the body of Christ that is the church. Lent is a season for us to reconnect to the Lord of kindness, to the Lord of mercy, to the Lord of forgiveness, to the Lord of love, who fills our hearts with His Holy Spirit and therefore writes the law of the new covenant, which is the law of love, upon our hearts and our souls. Again, we don't have time to take your call, so I see some calls coming in, and I'm really sorry, we're running out of time in this segment. But as I wrap this up, my exhortation to all of you is we have to be saints. And if I may paraphrase Saint Therese of Lisieux from her Story of the Soul here, we must be full saints. We can't. There's no such thing as halfway saints in this regard. We are either saints or not at all. Now, that doesn't mean that we won't sin. What she is saying is our resolution cannot be half-hearted. Our striving must come from a place of choosing Jesus before all else. Now, is that easy? Of course not. And so we continually choose Him above all else, time and time again. And so my greatest encouragement for all of you in this season of Lent is simply as follows. Love Jesus Christ above everyone else, and by virtue of that, love everyone else as you love yourselves. To love God and to love our neighbor, therein lies the whole law of the season of Lent. I pray that this season of Lent becomes eminently grace-filled, but also eminently practical for you. Thank you for joining us. I'm Marcus Peter.